Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, God, we believe. God, we believe.
Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We truly happy to have each and every one of you all. Man, I'm praising God for all of his goodness. We're going to have a word of prayer. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. But this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. I'm rejoicing, brothers and sisters. But for the grace of God, I'm praying that the gates of thanksgiving be open in our hearts. I'm praying that we will petition him in terms of just singing through songs and praises, because he's so worthy to be praised. I have to give him thanks. I have to praise him today. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, first of all, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn who we are and what we are. It is in your word that we learn how to pray and the things that we should pray for. So I thank you, Father God, that we're your children, first of all, because we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is your word. So I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for forgiving us of all of our sins and washing us in your blood according to Ephesians 1 and 7 and Hebrews 9 and 14. I thank you, Father God, that for that reason, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that when you look at us as your temple. Hallelujah. You don't see us as bricks and mortar, But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not, you are the temple. I thank you, Father God, for being delivered from depression. I thank you, Father God, for being delivered from religion. I thank you, Father God, for being delivered from tradition. And most of all, Father God, I thank you for being delivered from the power of darkness. I thank you for translating us into your kingdom, hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, where we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, according to 1 Peter 1:18-19. And according to Galatians, we've been delivered from deception. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. And for that reason, Father God, we are saints, according to Romans 1:7. We are living saints. And we join our fellow brothers and sisters, which we all are one spirit in Christ, that seated at the right-hand side of the Father, which is in heaven. And it was possible, Heavenly Father, that this happened because of your blood, because of Christ's blood, according to Ephesians 2:13. It's possible, but it's only possible for those that believe it. And I thank you, Father God, that we've been set free according to John 8:31-33. We're free. And if the Father have made us free, we're definitely free. We're free from deception. We're free from religion. We're free from denomination. We're free from that garbage that people are trying to throw in us. And for that reason, Father God, you have sealed us with your Holy Spirit according to Ephesians 1:13. So, Father God, I accept the fact that you call us your beloved sons and daughters. Why? Because we've been crucified with Christ. So therefore, not us, but Christ lives in us, according to Galatians 2:20. So I thank you, Father God, for letting Christ live in us. Hallelujah. And most of all, Father God, I thank you for hearing the prayers of those over this country. That tells me, Father God, you're still hearing prayer, regardless of what people may think. You're still a prayer-hearing God. Hallelujah. For Damar Hamlin, Father God, people got together all over the world and began to pray, and you set us free. So I'm going to give you the credit today, Father God. I'm not giving no doctors no credit. I'm not giving no man no credit. Father God, you hear and you answer prayer. And for that reason, we praise you, Father God. We give you the glory that when he moved, Father God, when his hand moved, when he touched his mother, when he gave that sign of love, that victory sign. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for it, Father God. I thank you for all those that joined together in that prayer and believe for it. Hallelujah. And Father God, I pray right now that somebody's ears may become open during this broadcast. I pray, Father God, that they understand the word of God in light of redemption. I pray, Father God, that they'll see the word and not man, because your word says, wherefore, henceforth, know nobody after the flesh, but after the spirit. We even known Christ like that once, and we got it all wrong. Trying to know him on the cross, trying to know him with 12 guys around him. You said, don't know him like that anymore. So we're not trying to know him like that. We're trying to know him after the spirit. And your word says in John 6:63, the words you say, they are spirit and they are life. So we're trying to know him per the word today, Father God, that somebody hear that and eyes become open and ears become unstopped. I ask you this, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody put themselves in agreement with this prayer, said amen. And let's hope that somebody, even me, Father God, I thank you right now that you're going to open up something for me, Father God. I thank you. Praise you for it. That my eyes become open to more truth. Because you promised that some 30, some 60, some 100. I want to know more, Father God, of your divine nature, of your divine knowledge. share it with us, because we know, Father God, that your people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And I thank you for pointing it out today. Let it flow like rivers. Your word says, out of the abundance of our hearts, it shall flow. Let it flow, Father God. Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody agree with this prayer, did say amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, listen, brothers and sisters. This week, our subject was the word must be the final authority. No matter what it is, the word of God has to be the final authority. No matter what the subject is, let the word of God be the final authority. Now, what we're going to do, first of all, for those that want to, because this is our review, not mine, this is our review. So if anybody heard something this week, you want clarity, or anybody got a word this week, you want to share it, press 1, because it's our review. We're going over some of the things that we talked about this week. Because, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people say, oh, I read that. I can't read the Bible enough. Boy, I hear, and God opened up more to me. I don't know about you, but I love it, man. I love it when I go back and read it, and God showed me something that I miss, man. See, I ain't trying to be all up there. I want to be humble. I want to remain teachable. Yes. And you can't do it with a haughty spirit. Can't get anything from God. But if you keep, remain meek and humble, God will open up his word more and more to us. So maybe there was something God opened up to you this week that you would like to share. Press 1 and we'll let you share. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but anybody that would like to review anything you want to have to say, please do not hesitate to press 1, because we can stop in the middle of it. Because it's important, brothers and sisters, that we learn as much as we can learn together. Not no big eyes and little U's. We all are God's children. Some of us, we all are God's children, plain and simple. And so Monday we had a little hitch with the broadcast. Not sure what happened. Doesn't matter. I just charge it to the will of God. That's what he wanted for us. Praise God. That's what happened. Right. But in that, I learned that, hey, you can't depend on this electronic stuff. It's very important that you depend on the word of God. That's why I tell each and every one of you all, you get in your word, man. Allow the Holy Ghost that opportunity to take you through there. You know, it's something he wants to show you, but you got to be humble so he can show it to you. You may be the person he show it to so that you become that living epistle. I don't know why people are having a problem with that, but we are living Bible. Not walking scriptures now, but we're a living epistle that's been written with the Holy Ghost. And not with man's ink. But so therefore, God put things in you for you to share, especially when it lines up to the word of God, you know, line on line, precept on precept, and you'll know it. So Monday, we went through that. Then Tuesday, we talked a little bit about DeMar Hamlin. And the whole world began to pray. That's the young man that collapsed on Monday Night Football. And it was just such an outpouring of it. And I believe Evangelist Renee, may have to ask her again exactly her words, but I think she said something like, if you're gonna hope, then don't pray. And I kind of agreed with her, because don't hope for it, believe for it. So if you're going to pray, believe. People, hope shows you the word of God, and then once you receive it, then you begin to pray. So she brought up the fact that, you know, we should, let's see, I think she said something in don't hope and pray at the same time. But either way, if you're going to pray, there's no need to, because here's what happens. Your hope don't make you ashamed, brother and sister. So don't, I want you to get this twisted. I want you to understand what's going on here. If you're going to pray, there's no need to hope. You know why? Because you got confidence in the word of God. Now, if you use hope in the terms of expectation, you expect God to answer prayer. That's what you expect. See, you have not because you ask not. But don't pray and hope. Pray and believe. So we got into that a little bit Tuesday. And Wednesday, we dealt with confidence. And Wednesday, we went to trust God's authority, which is a better plan. And we also talked a little bit about testing God. I'm not testing God. You can prove the test through God according to Romans 13, 1 and 2. So we'll get into that. And we also talked about if you want to see a miracle, be in the storm. See, God works miracles while you're in the storm. That's what God does. He works miracles while we're yet in our storm. Don't get out of the storm and expect a miracle. No, you want to expect a miracle while you're in your storm. And we talked a little bit about that. So, about wherever you want to start it, whoever wants to start, you know, I do want to update everybody on the young man, DeMar. Hamlin, the tube's been taken out of him, praise God, so that's something, a good praise report. Tube's been taken out, he's talking, he's active, he's communicating, they're praying that today he'll be taken out of ICU and placed in, what they call on the floor or in a ward, out of that ward, and into his own private room or whatever. But either way, let's give God some praise for that, okay? That he's still answering prayer. And whatever you do, you make sure you tell people about this, because this is prayer answering. This is a prayer answering God. Before he even went into the NFL, he had decreed that he wanted to raise money, $2,500, I believe it was, for needed children. See, you got to see that, man. You got to see God's miracle in that. So it was more than just praying for him, but it had an opportunity to see how God operates. For those that don't know, let me tell you what. When God parted the Red Sea, that was a miracle within itself. But the miracle came because it was the second part of that. He allowed them to walk through dry ground. It should have been muddy. I mean, mud should have been up to their waist. But you know what? God let them walk through on dry land. See, parting the water was part of it. Now, why am I telling you that? Some of you ain't even seen your second part of your miracle. Don't give up now. You got to see the second part of your miracle. Like when Jesus was out there and he calmed, he rebuked the sea. That was the first part. The second part is he calmed the sea. He rebuked the wind, but the first part of the miracle, the second part is he calmed the sea. See, that's how God works. Just like this young man, the first part of the miracle was seeing him get healed. The second part, he had a foundation he started before he started playing football a couple of years ago, and he wanted to raise $2,500 for needed children. The second part of his miracle is, it's over $8 million. $8 million. You do the math. From $2,500, that's all he desired, so he could take care of some poor children, the homeless children, children in a bad neighborhood. So he just wanted to bless them. So it went from $2,500 to $8 million. I'm trying to tell somebody something. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but let me tell you this. Expect the second part of your miracle. Getting saved was the first part of my miracle. Getting revelation knowledge was the second part of my miracle. Hallelujah. Getting set free was the second part of my miracle. opening my eyes was the first part. But closing my eyes to other stuff was the second part of miracle. But anyway, we're going to get started. Tuesday, like I said, we talked about believing in prayer. And we started with, a couple of things I want to point out that I thought was real interesting. And that is, what is you walking by, brothers and sisters? You have to walk by faith. And that don't mean the ideal. That's not what faith is. Faith is nothing up in the sky, something you feeling. That's not faith. Faith is the word of God. How I know that? 2 Corinthians. Well, before we go there, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we should walk by faith. So what that means? What that means is that you're to walk by the word of God. So faith is the substance of things you hope for. So as you walking, your hope for is going to be through faith. Well, some people know that faith, things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Most people know that. But then they don't tell you what your substance is. Well, bless God, you're going to know today. Today, your substance, see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, get to know what your substance is. Your substance is the word of God. That's what you're standing on. So if you're standing on the word of God, you got confidence. Well, you can rejoice because you got confidence now. Huh? See, without faith, you can't please God. Can I say that one more time? Without faith, you don't please God. You're useless. So since you have this faith, I know he gave it to you. You know how I know? Because he's given all of us a measure of faith. He's given us some words, brothers and sisters. So Jesus is the finisher. He is the author. I always want to say finisher. But he is the author and finisher. See, he designed what faith is. He designed it. So he is the author. He wrote the thing, okay? He designed it. And then he put his signature on it as approval to faith. That's what he did. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. I mean, he is the author of the word of God. He's the finisher. So you say, okay, how do I get more faith? You hear more. That's how you get more. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how that works. Okay. John 1, 1 John 1. Yes, we'll go there. 1 John 1. Let's see here. Verses 5-15. Well, let's go 14 and 15. Hallelujah. See a pastor here. Okay. Pastor, you able to read out the Messenger Bible?
Yes, Pastor. Amen.
Okay. Yes, well, First Pastor. John 5, 1 John 5, 14, 15, reads like this. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him.
Amen. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. From the Message Bible. Let's see here. And how bold and free we then become in his presence, freely asking according to his will, sure that he's listening. And if we're confident that he's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours. Amen.
Amen. See, right there to eliminate hope. I love mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
See, because you have confidence now.
Yeah.
Can I say that
Amen.
Again? See, if you believe now and you follow other believers, meaning that you act on the word of God, that's what believing is,
mm-hmm.
you have this confidence.
Yeah.
To have confidence is to have assurance.
Amen.
You don't mind say that again, do you? Having confidence
right.
is like you have the assurance that, hey, man, I done asked God for rain. I'm going to get my umbrella. Nobody may not understand it, but you understand it. Because you asked God for rain.
Yeah.
And if you have confidence, you know, you have confidence. It's beyond a feeling, brothers and sisters. It's a trust. It's
mm-hmm.
confidence is like you can rely on it.
Yeah.
You know, even though you may have asked God in secret, he will reward you openly. Can somebody say amen now on that one? See, confidence is like a faith or belief. One will act the part. You know, when you have confidence, it's because you have a relationship with God that won't
mm-hmm.
sway you. You can go ahead on and buy that thing. You can go ahead on and have that assurance.
Yeah, amen.
That God is going to comply.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
yeah.
having great faith. What that
mm-hmm.
young man said, you don't have to go to my house. Just speak the word. And my
yeah.
servant will be healed. See, that's the confidence. You ain't got to hope it. So
All
we
right.
talked a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone like, and also I think we use Ephesians 2 and 10. Let's go Ephesians 2 and 10 on that one as well. And let me say this too, because confidence is having that assurance that, hey man, I done asked my mama for this or my daddy for this, and I just know they love me like that. They'll get it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You done worked hard and you deserve a raise. And you go in there and ask your boss for a raise. Hey, you know, it's just like we can have this confidence. And here's why. Because we are his workmanship.
Yeah.
We're created in Christ Jesus for a good work, which God
mm-hmm.
had before ordained that we should walk in them. That's that confidence we have.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, like we was part of the uncircumcision, but our heart's been circumcised now. So why not?
All right. Amen.
Yeah. So yeah, we can boast in the confidence that, hey, man, we're his workmanship. God created us to be like this. I'm not
yeah.
a mistake on the lake. God created me to be like this.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That was Ephesians 2 and 10.
Amen.
Yeah.
From the Message Bible, he creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. Amen.
Yeah, see, a believer, a hold to that. He knew that's where his confidence is. Remember over
Amen.
There in Mark 9, what was it? We hit on that a little bit. Mark was in Mark 9:23 from the book of Mark, St. Mark, the gospel according to St. Mark. 9:23, remember what Jesus said unto him? He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible, him that believes. believeth. You know what he said in Mark 9:23?
All right. Amen.
Yeah.
Did you want me to read that from the Message by the Pastor?
Yes, you can. Yes.
Yes, Pastor. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if there is no if among believers, anything can happen. Amen.
Yeah. See, so I had no problem believing Mark. Had no problem at all. So when that young man, we were praying for that young man, wasn't no big deal.
Amen.
Yeah. So when I tell you that you're the very righteousness of God, well, if you believe that, it's possible.
Amen.
When I say, according to Philippians 3:20, that we are citizens seated in heavenly places right now, well, I believe that. I act like that. See, everybody can't believe that. Everybody can't believe in prayer. I talked to a young lady, she's an older lady. And I got to share this with you guys. She said that, because we were talking about this case with this young man, I'm telling her how God just answered prayer, and of course it's his will. Of course it's his will. But God moved on our behalf because we asked him. Now, I believe that. I believe God moved all of that stuff, and he did that because we asked him.
Amen.
And some of us know he's able to do that. So I was sharing with her that because we asked God. So she said, well, no, it was going to happen anyway. No, not necessarily. It was going to happen. It happened because we asked him. It happened because we believed. We believed in prayer.
Yeah.
Now, if God is going, you know, if it's already predetermined that he's going to answer prayer now, then why are we praying? That's crazy. So I asked, I said, well, what you're saying is that it's already predetermined that it's going to happen or not. So if it's already predetermined, why are we praying? That's crazy. It's pointless to me. I think you have not because you ask not.
All right.
Yeah, we got to pray that the kingdom of God come in people. We pray that God strengthen our marriages, restore marriages. We pray for husbands, for wives. We pray for believers. We pray that God humble us. So if we can't ask God this stuff, why are we praying? So she had no answer. She told me, go ask God. I said, well, you represent everything else. Tell me that. She said she didn't want to get into it with me. I said, get into it with me. Because I want you to make sure you understand when you ask God something, you ask him in faith. And he'll grant it in grace. But it had not been predetermined. Even though the enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy, without prayer, the enemy would have killed that man. Now, I know some of y'all got problems with that. That may be because you don't know who the devil is. But he come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So when we pray, everybody pray, life came into that man. I believe that. I believe for that. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you're going to pray, believe it's already done. And if you're not going to believe, then don't pray. Sometimes you may have to ask God, Lord, help my unbelief. Yeah. sometimes when our loved ones and we flooded with tears and we can't get enough napkins, enough sheets, enough towels to dry them up, and we crying out to God because we don't believe like we should, then you need to pray that God help your unbelief. For what the Bible said, remember over there, what, Mark 9:24? Yeah, you have to ask God to help our belief, your unbelief, because all things are possible to them that believe, not to them that go to a church building. All things are possible to those that believe. See, everybody can't believe that 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Everybody can't believe that. So it's possible to those that believe that. It's just like righteousness. You have to believe God's righteousness, that he's giving you that. That's all predicated on your belief. Yeah. Just like being a citizen of heaven and you seated on the right hand side, that comes through believing that. Listen, dear heart. You are living stone. You are lively stone. That's what you are. That's what the Bible says you are. You are a spiritual house. That's what you are. That's what the Bible says you are. You are a royal priesthood. Now, he made that declaration, but it's yours when you start believing that. Say amen on that one, huh? Anyone have any comments so far or anything that's been said so far? So far, so good. Hallelujah. Yeah. I just lost my notes. But I had it written down, brothers and sisters. Boom, there it is. Okay. Wednesday we talked about trusting in God. And we're going to read Romans 13:1-2. You want to read that, Pastor? Are you still with us?
Okay. Yes, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Is that Romans 13?
Yes. 1-2.
Okay. Reading from the King James. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Amen.
Everyone must submit to God's power, because whoever got any power, it was given to him. That's including Satan. All authority comes from God. Now, how we get filtered down to whoever is in authority is a whole nother ball game. If it's in position, if it's in the medical, whatever you call in power or authority, it's been given. But listen, brothers and sisters, the final authority given to God is all predicated on the word of God. The final authority. And we got a little bit into Mark 4. We'll go back there as well. I thought that was real interesting. Mark 4, believe it was, it started with the, I want to say with the ninth, but I had asked you all to read it all. So I'm going to read it. Could I read from the first through maybe the 14th verse? And that pastor to read it at the Messenger Bible. And he began to teach by the seaside. And there was a gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the street. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. He even had to have a microphone, bullhorn. The second verse says, and he taught them many things by parable, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And the sixth verse says, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and became it no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprung up and increased, brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parable, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye this parable? And how then ye know all parables? The sower sowed the word.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. He went back teaching by the sea. A crowd built up to such a great size that he had to get into an offshore boat, using the boat as a pulpit as the people pushed to the water's edge. He taught by using stories, many stories. What do you make of this? A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road and birds ate it. Some fell in the gravel. It sprouted quickly but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled among the weeds, and nothing came of it. Some fell on good earth and came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. Are you listening to this? Really listening? When they were off by themselves, those who were close to him, along with the 12, asked about the story. He told them, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. But to those who can't see it yet, everything comes in stories, creating readiness, nudging them toward receptive insight. These are people whose eyes are open but don't see a thing, whose ears are open but don't understand a word, who avoid making faith and getting forgiven." He continued, "Do you see how this story works? All my stories work this way. The farmer plants the word. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road." Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. The soil, he says, so the word. Now compare that with that other verse. What was that in? Where he talks about the soil. Compare that with that. To the third verse, I think it was. Compare that to the third verse. All it says in the third verse is that the sower went out and sowed. But the 14th verse explains what happened. It says, the sower sowed the word. Just like the 15th verse explains what the 4th verse says. The 4th verse says, "And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it." The fowls, see, that makes a lot of sense to those that are living in the flesh. But let me tell you something, brother and sister. To those that are living in the spirit, the 15th verse makes a lot of sense. "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. By when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts." I just want you to go through and compare verse with verse, like verse 14 should be compared. Is that making sense, Pastor? Like the verse 14 should be compared with the verse 3. Verse 4 should be compared with verse 15. Verse 5 should be compared with verse 16. And on and on and on and on and on and on and so forth. Do that comparing. And you'll be able to see the difference between the flesh and the spirit, the carnal-minded and the spiritual-minded. So tomorrow, we can pick that up, and you can see the comparison there. Like I said, you start with the third, those that will now. This can be a assignment. This can be your homework. Hearken, the third verse, compare it to the 14th verse. And you're going to be able to see the difference because you're spiritual. The fourth verse, compare it to the 15th verse. the fifth verse, compare it to the 16th verse. I want you to do it side by side, simultaneously, so you can see this. And everybody ain't going to get it because everybody ain't been converted. But if you'll let your heart be open and hearken to the word of God, the Spirit's going to show it to you. Because everybody from 3 to 13 is being taught in the flesh. Everybody from 14 beyond is being taught in the spirit. And when you see the comparison, the third verse says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. That's how it says. And then you get down to the 14th verse, it says, the sower sowed the word. There's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anybody else have anything else? And maybe we'll just pick that up tomorrow because the word of God has to become the final authority. Anybody else? Press 1. Hallelujah. Okay, any comments from you, Pastor?
Well, Pastor, you just made it plain. As you look at those verses, it does, you compare, you can see the difference, how it come to pass. I think I had read 19 through 20. From the Message Bible, well, actually 18, and I just want to reread that from the Message Bible, verses 18 through 20, and it reads, the seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worry about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. Verse 20, but the seed planted in good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Amen, amen. I just want to share that, Pastor. Amen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you so much, Pastor. Now, like I said, just go and you'll see the difference. Compare them. You can start with verses 3. And verse 3, you're going to compare it with verse 14. Yeah, I did most of the homework for you already. Compare 3 with 14. You compare 4 with 15. You compare 5 with 16.
Mm-hmm.
6 verse 6 to 17. And you can see the difference. One is carnal and one is spiritual. See, God said, he didn't say anything about no devil in the first 13 verses. He didn't say anything. But then after that, he showed you who the father of the air is. That's the devil. That's why he explains it in the 15th verse. Okay, nothing else. Anybody else? Still got time for the review. Just press 1. Hallelujah. Okay, well, next week we're going to pick it up. God's word has to be the final authority for any and